Whether you're a corporate drudge living the life of Dilbert or an exhausted line worker at Ford, there's always a way to find meaning at work, at least according to David White. White is a Yorkshire-born poet and a Fortune 500 consultant who's worked with companies like Boeing, Kodak, and Toyota. His book is called Crossing the Unknown Sea, Work as a Pilgrimage of Identity. He told Anne Strainchamps what the title means.
It means that we should take our life seriously, I suppose, and especially our work life, and especially as we spend so much time in the workplace these days. We've privileged work above almost any other activity at this present time in our history, especially in the United States. So we spend more time there than almost anywhere else in our existence. So it's to treat it seriously as a journey in which there is some kind of destination, there is some kind of meaning.
I can see how this applies in the lives of people who are lucky enough to be choosing their work, lucky enough to have found work that expresses some of their own creativity. But for many people, of course, work is about a paycheck. Does your book apply as well to the line worker at McDonald's, the divorced mother who works two jobs to try to keep her kids fed and housed?
I think it perhaps applies to them more than the people we normally think of as living kind of independent, entrepreneurial, successful lives. So, you know, if you feel oppressed by your particular workplace, you should find a place to begin that conversation. And sometimes you can't even begin it in the workplace. You have to start it with a family or with a friend or sometimes with a stranger on the flight to Cincinnati, you know. It's interesting to look at the root of the word desire, actually. It comes from the Latin word of the stars. So when you have a desire, you're actually attempting to keep your star in sight. And I think that is an inheritance that every human being is heir to, that every child has a particular view of the world in which they feel as if they have a real invitation. And that invitation is dependent upon the way they're made and their own nature. And one of the great tasks, I think, of adult life is to remember how you belong in the world and to keep that before your eyes. And that dynamic is true for someone working on the line at Ford Motor Company, just as true as it is for someone walking the wool carpet of a corporate penthouse. You know, it's a dynamic that is true for all human beings.
Do any particular people come to mind when you say that, people you've worked with and in your work consulting with organizations?
I remember one workshop that I did, which was for the general public, actually, at the weekend, and a gentleman in the workshop who suddenly realized how incredibly unhappy he'd been, not only for the last few months, but for something like the last 5 years in his work, went back in on Monday morning and resigned in the morning. And he called me up in the morning, called our office anyway, and said, I've resigned. And of course, I didn't like that at all, because I think you should give wherever place you are three good faith attempts before you attempt to leave. But in the afternoon, he called back and said, I'm back on again. I happened to speak to him then, and I said, well, what happened? And he said, well, when I resigned in the morning, no one knew how unhappy I had been for all of those years. I had not spoken to anyone. And there was such a groundswell of sympathy for me, and I was amazed at how many people thought that my leaving would be a loss to the company, that they got together, my boss got together with them, my boss got together with me. By 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he asked me what I wanted to do and what my job description would look like if I would want to stay. Now, that man had been working in a kind of personal purgatory for 5 years because he'd never had the conversation. He was too afraid of it.
You tell another story near the beginning of the book about a seminal encounter you had as a young man that also speaks to some of this. You were a young man beginning to worry about what you would do with your life, whether your chosen career would even materialize. And you met one evening a stranger and had a kind of encounter that turned out to be deeply formative
yes,
for you.
That's right. The stranger at the door. Yes, that was in a remote Welsh farmhouse on a stormy night, as all good bad novels begin. I was supposed to be meeting some friends who lived in the farmhouse. It was student days, and I just turned up at the farmhouse, and I was beginning to worry at that time in my life about what I would actually do with my degree in marine zoology, as there didn't seem to be much on the horizon. I arrived at the farmhouse, and I was there by myself for quite a while with the storm gathering outside, and then there was a knock at the door, and there was a fellow there. And he had come to visit these people too. So there we were by the fire that we'd got going, two strangers. And this man began to tell me, as you do to strangers, a crucial aspect that had happened in his life. Because this man was an incredible landscape gardener and an expert on woodlands. And I was just amazed by his knowledge. And so I'd asked him, how did you get into this? And he said, well, you know, I was a complete and utter drug addict in North London. And I was living in this dingy flat with other addicts. And I'd got to the end of my rope. And I decided that I was going to throw myself out of this 12-story window. But I was so weak at the time, and I had this big sweater on, and I was trying to get over this planter box, this flower box in the window, this big wooden flower box, and I couldn't get over it. My sweater caught on a nail. And I was too exhausted to get over. My knees wouldn't come up over the edge. And I ended up spread-eagled in the mud of that flower box with the rain falling around me. And I gave up. I gave up completely. I didn't even have the energy to finish myself off. And I looked down into the planter after the longest time, and I saw this little Montana there, this little mountainous area with a stream of water running through it from one end to the other. And I slowly began to mold that mud and that ground and move plants around. And I stayed there for the longest time because I had nowhere to go and no other life to go to. And at the end of about 45 minutes of molding the ground, I knew what I had to do for the rest of my life, and that was landscaping. I got off the planter, I walked out the door, I walked past my dealer on the corner with my eyes down and knocked on the door of a friend and asked him for help, checked into detox, and then I was in a landscape gardening course, you know, within a month. So I thought that was an astonishing moment, you know, the way that even in the most desperate situation, you do have a faculty inside you, which in the poetic tradition is called the imagination, which will pluck out the image from all the thousands of images that you're surrounded by, that will tell you not only what to do, but how to be in the midst of that complexity.
Is there a poem you would be willing to leave us with?
Yes. This is a piece I wrote for, if you can believe it, it was written for the 777 aeroplane dedicated. Boeing commissioned me to write a piece. And it's really about the invisible aerodynamics of life. So this is called Working Together. We shape ourselves to fit this world, and by the world are shaped again. We shape ourselves to fit this world, and by the world are shaped again. The visible and the invisible, working together in common cause to produce the miraculous. I'm thinking of the way the intangible air, passed at speed, round a shaped wing, easily holds our weight. So may we in this life trust to those elements we have yet to see or imagine, and look for the true shape of our own self by forming it well to the great intangibles about us.
David White is a poet and a consultant for Fortune 500 companies. He spoke with Anne Strainchamps about his book called Crossing the Unknown Sea, Work as a Pilgrimage of Identity.